in considering both the gospel for today as well as these memory verses that our confirmands chose for this occasion, I found myself wondering two things. First, why do we give advice? And second, why do we memorize things? Advice, for the most part, can be gathered into very explicit ways. It falls into one slot or the other. It can either be good advice or bad advice. It can be requested advice or unasked for advice. It can be welcomed or resented. It can be followed or ignored. And as I was looking at the things that you chose, it seemed to me that all five of them fit into the category of advice. Often words of wisdom are shared at important moments, at the birth of a child, at a wedding, at the start of a new job, or right before moving to a brand new city. Advice is often given when someone is leaving and they're going to be away from us. At times of ending, we give advice. Graduations, retirement, even at the end of our lives. So as I read these passages of scripture that these five young people chose for today, it struck me that they were, in fact, advice. Brooklyn chose a verse from the book of Proverbs, which is a part of what's called the wisdom literature of the Bible. And it is a collection of sayings that talk about questions of value, what's important and what's not. It covers moral behavior, what should we do and what shouldn't we do. It talks about the meaning of life and the importance of opening yourself to the will of God. Brooklyn's particular verse has to do with the value of doing the right thing and then sticking with it. If we are true to what we know to be right, if we choose to follow God's word, we will be blessed with life and dignity and even distinction. People will notice you when you are kind and when you are fair and when you are just. Connor chose a passage from Ecclesiastes, which is the hardest book of the Bible to pronounce. I'm telling you now, Ecclesiastes, that word is tricky. And it is also a part of the wisdom literature in the Bible. And it's kind of like a journal of a preacher who tends to talk about the really big picture of life. He's the guy who said, there is a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, a time to live. He goes through all these things. It's a very big picture thinking. But the chunk of scripture that Connor chose, in that particular passage, the preacher gives advice for daily living. He calls us to remember who we are and who God is. We're down here, God's in heaven. Remember who you are. And some days we need to be simply reminded of that difference between us and God. We also need to keep in mind that the things that we say to other people and the things that we say to God. And so if you would be seen as wise, don't talk too much. Measure your words, which doesn't mean be quiet, but it means say what needs to be said, but you don't have to go on and on. If you would be have a life that's calm and not stressed out, don't worry so much. He says, the more you worry, the more likely it is you'll have bad dreams. And how many of us have laid in bed at night and worried, and all it does is make you feel more worried in your sleep? So remember who you are, remember whose you are, and hopefully then you won't worry quite so much because God is with you. Katie's chosen verses come from the end of Deuteronomy, when Moses is very, very old and he is very close to death. And he has been speaking to all the people of Israel right before they get to go into the promised land. And they are almost there. And so Moses preaches three last sermons, can't just do one or two. He does three last sermons. And he talks to them about how they should behave as the people of God. And then he says this, I am 120 years old, and I no longer can get around like I used to. Plus, God has told me that I will not get to go into the land of Canaan. I will not cross the river Jordan. But, Moses says, God will cross the river ahead of you, and he will keep you safe. Moses says, be strong and bold. Don't be afraid, because the Lord is going with you, and he will not fail or forsake you. He will not fail or forsake you. Your Lord, your God, is with you. Nathan chose 1 Timothy, which is one of Paul's letters to his young friend. And throughout his letters, Paul advises Timothy on how to organize a congregation and the responsibilities of the people who lead the church. And knowing that Timothy didn't always have an easy time in the work that he was doing, Paul reminds him to be faithful even when things go wrong. Nathan's memory verses are from the very start of the letter when Paul reminds Timothy that Jesus came to save sinners, including Paul. And it may have seemed to Timothy like Paul had it all together. After all, he had started lots of congregations, he had traveled all over Asia and Europe, the Holy Spirit had spoken to him, he'd met Jesus on the road, for goodness sake. He wrote these fabulous letters, he did all this work, even though his life was in danger again and again, he was a terrific guy. Right? We read his words again and again. But Paul reminds Timothy and all of us that he was once an enemy of Christ. He had persecuted Jesus' followers, and yet God was patient with him. God was forgiving and loving. And so Paul's life is an example to all who would believe how great our God can be. We, like Timothy, do well to remember that God uses all kinds of people to spread the good news of love and forgiveness. God used people like you and me to share the good news that our Savior has come. There is nobody who is not qualified to share the good news of Jesus Christ. The last of our verses comes from Emily, who chose the very last verse in the very last book, very last verse, very last chapter, very last book, very end of the Bible. But before you get to that memory verse that Emily chose, Jesus says this: "It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let everyone who hears say, 'Come.' And let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift." The writer of Revelation calls us to believe that Christ has cared for our needs and will bless us in the life to come. And he seals that wonderful book of visions and dreams by saying, "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. May God's love be with everyone." And if we turn it a little, God's love is with everyone. Good words to remember. You have each chosen wonderful words of advice, words to encourage and strengthen, words for bravery and blessing, and we asked you to memorize them, and we ask you to memorize the Lord's Prayer and the Apostles' Creed, but why on earth do we ask you to memorize all this stuff? And how long will you really remember it? Yesterday, Emily's mom said that the version of the Lord's Prayer that's stuck in her head and stuck in her brain and she can't get it out as much as she tried is the one that she memorized when she was in confirmation. That, for her, is her Lord's Prayer. It's in her head. It won't leave her. My mother, who will be 85 in November, can still recite bits and pieces from Martin Luther's Small Catechism. When she was your age, she had to memorize the whole thing, and then she had to go to the pastor and recite the whole Small Catechism, and then they had what they called public examination, where you had to stand in front of the congregation, and people would ask you questions, and you would have to answer. She says the pastor usually gave a clue as to what you would have to say, but how scary is that? And yet, 70 years later, 70, she can still remember bits and pieces. And one of her favorite parts comes from the third article of the Apostles' Creed, the part that's about the Holy Spirit. She can tell you this: "I believe that my own understanding and strength, I cannot believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But instead, the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, made me holy, and kept me in the true faith, just as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and makes holy the whole Christian church." 70 years. And those words are still with her as a reminder of how the Holy Spirit works in us so that we might have faith in Jesus Christ. We do not do this on our own. And we need to remember that. And that's why we memorize things, so that you can have those words with you. They're always with you. They'll be in your head. They'll be in your heart. They are stored conveniently inside you, so when you need them, they will be there. The words of blessing and wisdom that you have chosen are yours to keep and to remember, and you never know when you might need them. There are lots of stories about people who found themselves in desperate situations, people who were in concentration camps during World War II, people who were prisoners of war during Vietnam, people who have survived disasters, have been buried under some horrible thing in an earthquake or drawn away by a hurricane. And they had words in their hearts that they remembered. They could remember pieces of the Bible, and so they could recite it to themselves, and they could tell it to the people who were there with them. And they found strength in God's word, and they were able to share that holy advice even though they didn't have a Bible. Even though the Apostles' Creed wasn't written down on a piece of paper in front of them, or the Lord's Prayer, they had it in their hearts. And so they had it when they needed it. I am hopeful that you will never be in that kind of situation, but you may find that the verses that you have memorized will guide you again and again, and they may show up at times that are quite unexpected. There's a Bible verse for me that shows up all the time, that gets me in good ways, and it gets me when I'm not being so good. See what love the Father has for us, that we should be called children of God. I need to be reminded of that every so often. I also did not have to memorize the Small Catechism, but there's a part in the explanation to the Eighth Commandment, which is the one about bearing false witness against your neighbor. It's stuck in my head. In his explanation, Luther says that not only are we to not bear false witness, we aren't to tell lies about people, we aren't supposed to gossip about them, but we are to put the best construction on all that they do, which means even when it seems like someone has done something to you that's really wrong, they've sent an email that made you feel bad, or they sent you a text message, or they left you out, or they did something, and it feels hard inside, Luther's advice calls us to assume the best about that other person. I have a friend who, when I would not assume the best about them, would say, "Heidi, Eighth Commandment, you remember? Eighth Commandment." So those things that we remember can help us and guide us. There are so many times when those bits of advice will bubble up in your brains, and while it isn't always easy for me to be reminded to keep the Eighth Commandment, I'm glad of the advice. It makes me stop and think again and again about how I would treat other people. So you may not remember these verses in 70 years or even in 7 years, although we hope that you will. But here's this. When Jesus was giving his last words of advice to the disciples, I am sure that he hoped that they would remember what he had said. He says to them for 3 years, over and over again, the same things, again and again. And I know that he wanted them to remember what he said and remember what they had done together, but he also knew that they might not, that they might forget because they were human and broken just like us. So while he gave them all of his very best advice on how to live together, on how to be faithful, and how to be good disciples, he said, "I have told you these things while I am still with you, but the Father is sending a great helper. The Holy Spirit will come to take my place, and the Spirit will teach you everything and will remind you of what I said when I was with you." Even if our memories fail, the Spirit is always there to give us help, always to remind us of who we are and whose we are and what it is that God would have us to be. So here's my advice for you today. Remember that God is with you. You are the Lord's beloved child, and there is nothing that can change that. You are loved by God today and tomorrow and always. Remember that. The Holy Spirit, who loves you, is with you and will keep you. Now and always, you are God's beloved children.